This is my last morning here on Padayatra, unfortunately, until the end of June. There was a nice storm last night, and some of the devotees were sleeping outside, because when we went to sleep, it was very nice, clear skies. They got drenched. In fact, some tents got blown away. I hardly knew about it, because my tent was under shelter over here, and neither I had wind or very little rain. Anyway, one has to have a little excitement in order to give added value to such escapades. I thought to talk a little just about two main points that we've been discussing here on Padayatra, and it was a follow-on from discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya, and that was about the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. Anyway, one of the points is the impossible situation of Mayavadis, who in all truth are worse than demons. And the other one is understanding of the Supreme Lord as being solely and wholly a function of His mercy upon living entities. People may wonder how it is that those who study scripture, perform austerities, restrain their senses, chant mantras can be worse than demons who have uncontrolled senses, perform abominable activities, and even may deny the existence of the Lord. And the answer is that the latter, the demons, may be real debauched sense enjoyers. But at least they don't have a overt philosophy which completely obstructs them from ever understanding God. In other words, they don't necessarily declare themselves to be God. If they do, then they come under the category of Mayavadis, and they don't necessarily deny the existence of the Lord. They're just addicted to sense gratification. At least this is the context I'm using the word demon in, a gross sense enjoyer. Therefore, by right association, by gradual purification of the heart, such demoniac people can actually be given faith and given a positive outlook on life. In contrast, Mayavadis have a philosophy which is the underlying basis of sense gratification, namely that we're all God, and therefore we all have a life right to be bhokta, the enjoyers, proprietors, independent of any other being. We have just as much right to enjoy and own as does Krishna. And of course, this type of philosophy leads to a conviction or a faith which becomes then impossible to purify, or at least only with great, great difficulty, because people who follow that faith have reinforced their mentality with a very strongly fixed philosophy, which in the case of traditional Mayavadis is based with scriptural evidence and their own parampara lineage. So because these people are not rectifiable, therefore they are in a worse condition than the demons. They cannot be rectified. Jagai and Madai were demons. They could be rectified by the mercy of the Lord. On the other hand, Ramchandra Puri couldn't be rectified either by his spiritual master or by the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was a Mayavadi. And of course, sense gratification and Mayavad do go hand in hand. And it's for that reason that those who have a desire for sense enjoyment are in reality Mayavadis, if not overtly declared, but still subliminally that is their conviction. What does that mean? It means that as long as we have the desire to enjoy the material world, to be proprietors, this is there because at least we are sharing the mentality which Mayavadis also have, is that we have a right to be enjoyers and proprietors. And that is the behavior of those who follow this impersonalist philosophy. It's the consequence of Mayavad philosophy. For this reason, Srila Prabhupada so often and repeatedly emphasizes the fallacy of impersonalism, and emphasizes that we should accept being servants of Krishna, which means that we don't own anything. Krishna is the proprietor, but we simply use things in his service, and that we're not independent enjoyers, but rather our enjoyment comes as a natural consequence of acting in such a way that he enjoys. When one is fully convinced of this and freed from any inclination for any other type of independent behavior, at that stage he is really free from the clutches of impersonalism and firmly situated as a servant of Krishna, which is our constitutional position. Therefore, although sense enjoyers are better candidates for devotional service than Mayavadis, the reason that is although they share the consequence of Mayavad philosophy, they don't have the underlying belief or argument to support it, and they don't propound that Mayavad bhasya, and therefore they can be rectified. The other topic, which very often seems to be a very simplistic one to materialistic people, is when people say, well, you know, prove God's evidence, and we just say, well, you can only prove the evidence of God's existence, of God being a person, and that that supreme person is Krishna, by receiving a drop of the Lord's mercy. Otherwise, logic and different types of empirical argument are of no avail. And materialistically minded people sort of smile us in a very condescending manner and think that this argument is childish, but it's not. It's actually a perfect argument and the only argument to give, considering that God, the absolute truth, is a transcendental being. That means that he's not approachable by any type of material instrument, neither the mind nor the intelligence, a logic, argument, or all functions of the mind and the intelligence. So whereas arguments, for instance, of the watchmaker, that just as a watch requires a watchmaker, so the wonderfully ticking universe requires also a supreme intelligence to design that, these type of arguments are indication or evidence of the existence of God, but they're not the proof. And there's a difference between evidence and proof. When you amass sufficient evidence, then you have real proof, but evidence of itself does not constitute full confirmation of some fact or allegation. So different types of arguments may be used to indicate the existence of the Lord, but real evidence only comes when that transcendental being reveals himself. If he is transcendental, if he's above the modes of nature and the limitations of material instruments like mind and intelligence, then there's no way for us to approach him, aroha panta, by some kind of ascending process. It only works when he descends. And the descending process is that God reveals himself through scripture, he gives the information by which he can be known, but we can see that Tarko Pitishta Shutaya Vibinam, that even scripture in itself is not sufficient, because many materialistic people study scripture and they don't accept it and understand it. And therefore, Mahajanajina Gatasa Panta, therefore, in addition to scripture, in which the information about the Lord is there, the faith and belief and the understanding that the information in scripture is correct requires the association of Mahajans, who spark the conviction within the heart of the living entity in conjunction with the inspiration due to the presence of the Supersoul in the heart. And in this way, people come to understand, or at least gain the conviction to take up the process by which they also come to the non-material, the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform. And it is only when one enters into the spiritual platform that one actually has direct perception of the Supreme Lord. Krishna exists in the transcendental region, in the transcendental realm, so we need also to become transcendental, to become free from material restrictions, material limitations. And then we can have direct experience of God's existence as well as God's personality. Materialistic people who say, "Let me see God," have to accept the fact that in order to see God, they have to have the proper instruments to see Him, they have to have the spiritual instruments to see Him, and that there is a process for that, and that process is devotional service. Therefore, what Gopinath Acharya says is that you can't understand Him with logic, argument, reason, speculation. You can only understand Him by His mercy, is the only and the perfect answer as to how God can be seen and understood. Therefore, we should also qualify ourselves through the process of devotional service to have that direct contact with the Lord. Of course, by faith in Scripture, we have the information of who He is and where He is, and by the association of great personalities like our Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, we have the perfect example as to how God can be realized. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Gopinath Acharya, following his advice, we should also put Krishna consciousness to good practice so that we can become the beneficiaries of the Lord's grace. Anyway, these were two topics discussed over the last 2 days. You hear that horse in the background. He's part of the riding academy just over here. Anyway, I'll be going to New Brajadam, and then we'll report to you from there. Hare Krishna.